There is a fifth dimension in football, beyond that which is known to man. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between ticker-tacker and parking the bus. And it lies between the pit of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is the dimension of Tony Pulis' organised football with his team of giants. It is an area which we call the Pulis Zone. Or then again, you could simply say, welcome to Fly Me to the Moon.
Hey, celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song, or the fragrance for men.
Yes, well, there we are. It is a twilight zone because Borough are in the quarterfinals of the Carabao Cup.
Yes, indeed.
Hurrah! And in a moment which actually brought tears to my eyes, I've actually got a mention in the anniversary edition of Fly Me to the Moon, the magazine, with the line, podcast man Alex at Southside. What can I say, Rob? I mean, it's just above and beyond. This is just, we will mention, of course, Stu Mack, Uncle Harry, Alban Fisher, Donkey Watch, Mr. Lima, Specky Gett, Gillandy, Endy and Minnie G, Saatchi, Fisher, that would be Bob, of course, Paddy D, and Robbie B, Tony Pierre, etc., because the centre page spread of the current edition of issue 520 for All You Athletic. All yours, Rob. All yours. Marvellous.
Indeed, it's a 30th birthday edition, and it's a team effort, and it's been a team effort all the way through. The team some of the people in the team, just like the football team, change. The cast might change, but it's a constant.
I'm looking actually at the photograph, and I'm seeing people who have sat in this very studio, Rob, in the very chair that you're sitting in. David Nish, Mark Brennan, Tony Mowbray, Gary Parkinson, Mark Proctor, and who else did we actually have? Colin Cooper. There we are. All, but he's even yet to do it, of course. But a significant number there. And David Nish, very much one of the pioneers back in the 80s of people actually sort of saying, yes, we want to give our youngsters more media experience. So this is where
I see.
Connects together.
Yes, we've got a team photograph from the 80s on the front cover of the fanzine, because it's appropriate. We look back to the 80s as well as look forward to the next game with a Pulis Zone.
Yes, I actually heard the manager of a certain team in Manchester. Well, actually, they're not in Manchester. It's Old Trafford, really, so they're well out of Manchester.
Okay.
But being described as the Portuguese Pulis recently,
right,
on a popular radio service. It's interesting. We take that line through that.
Well, I think there's a lot of parallels between Tony Pulis and we're looking at this cover with Bruce Rioch, don't you think? Mm. I mean, somebody said to me, not a Middlesbrough fan, a couple of weeks ago, that how do you find this sort of disciplined football? But then again, that's the way that Middlesbrough fans have been brought up. And if you think of Jack Charlton.
Exactly.
Bruce Rioch.
3-0 was the massive, it was the biggest win I think we could ever get.
Yeah,
Jack Charlton, really. It was after 3-0. They all settled down.
I talk Aranka, you know.
Of course, and look what he's doing at Nottingham Forest. But that was 45 years ago. Paddy Dillon writes, when Fly Me to the Moon launched 30 years ago, football fandom differed wildly from today. Back then, players were much more mysterious and distant, almost untouchable, and were free from the trappings of the social media age in which fans expect to be able to send comments straight to a player's Twitter account and understand their most intimate thoughts and feelings. I'm not sure I agree with that, necessarily. I mean, I think, actually, I found players much more approachable back in the day, as I've just mentioned, the ones who sort of came into the studio and worked through that process.
I think he's taking it in a different step, because he's gone on to talk about centre-back Danny Barth, who played...
Likes everything, doesn't he, Danny Barth?
Yeah, exactly. And he made his mark last week at Stoke, played a really good game, and that was his first full league game. But already, yeah, he's liking everybody's photographs on Instagram.
There was a time when fans had to go after their favourite players to get their attention. Now the tables have turned.
Mm-hmm.
The players are coming after us.
Yes.
At Halloween. So generally, good news in terms of Borough, because as we look at the table, we are indeed 4 points ahead of 12th position and 2 points off the Premier position, i.e. the first position, or the top of the table.
It's very
And
complex.
That just shows how Bristol City in 12th,
yep,
literally just 4 points behind Borough in 4th.
Yeah, there's the Yeah, it's very, very tight indeed. And when you think of how many draws we've had, if I went to the press conference this morning, and Tony Pulis always talks of, he talks of chances and opportunities. And presumably he's talking about opportunities with crosses that aren't chances. But he was also talking this morning, he said they've been talking with the players about how actually in many of the games we've had really good chances that we've not put away. So if you look at the Stoke game, there was a couple of certainly when Jordan Hugo went round the final defender, it was a one-on-one with a keeper. It was a good save, but if we need to start burying some of those, I'm going to call them chances.
Just had a slight correction. Actually, 6 points out of Bristol City have got 22 points in 12th position. But even so, from 12th up to 4th, only 6 points separating that gap.
Yeah, and other teams have slipped up as well as Borough. But I think it's a little bit ominous looking at the form at the moment of
Norwich.
I was going to say
and Forest.
Yeah, I was going to say Derby County, and I was going to resist saying Frank Lampard's Derby County as they are now.
It's like Stephen Gerrard's Rangers.
Yeah,
quite clearly.
Yeah,
it's a different sort of thing. But,
and I think Aston Villa also look as if they're on the move, but then probably quite a lot of sorting out to do there. They've got a big squad, and I wonder if they'll shed any of those squad in January.
In the programme today, we will be, it's a mega programme, because we are also having the premiere, the world premiere, of Mel Small's officially written, I won't say commissioned, because we didn't pay him.
And commissioned. You might get the wrong idea.
All sorts of things. Absolutely. He'd get the wrong idea.
He would.
Who knows what's happened. But it's the first of an epic trilogy for Act 1, Act 2, Act 3, and we're playing Act 1 today of his Holmes mystery. So in this very studio.
Like Sherlock Holmes.
I mean, the guy who plays Rob Nichols, frankly, I think he just nailed you perfectly. it's phenomenal. I know we had to get in some actors from Saltburn to actually do various bits and pieces as well, but this one is, frankly, just...
Alex is okay, though, isn't he?
it's
quite accurate.
And you think, well, it's difficult. Maybe you're too close to the actual character, really. I'm sorry.
Yeah, yes, you can get too close.
We've got the thoughts of Mike Baker coming up. We've got two pieces of poetry. No, it's amazing. And indeed, we could have had a third one, but we thought, no, we'd leave that for you to actually buy the actual magazine.
I think you need to.
Yeah, precisely. Yeah. And a heap of other sort of good events that are actually coming through. But let's just briefly celebrate Middlesbrough 1, Crystal Palace 0.
Absolutely.
Mr. Wing.
Yeah, it was an absolute cracking goal.
You can actually sort of have a situation where you've scored fewer goals than Reading, who are bottom of the table, when you've actually got a goal like that, really. Makes it all worthwhile.
Oh, tremendous. Really, really superb. He hit that ball so hard. And, let's remember that this was a guy that was playing for Shildon 2 seasons ago in the Northern League. And last season, he went out on loan. He came to the club. And gave him a chance late, when I suppose for many players that they feel like the opportunity's passed. He came to Middlesbrough, he played a couple of games in pre-season, he went out on loan for most of the season to Yeovil, and obviously done him the world of good. And he's a player that has a little bit of, he's got a real perception, he can see the pass that others don't, he has a bit of time, but also an amazing shot on him, and unbelievably, we got the draw that we got, the home draw against Burton Albion. It won't be easy.
Clough comes back.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. They'd beaten Forest, hadn't they? They'd beaten Aitor's Forest.
And actually, last
gives us a chance, doesn't it, to get in the semi?
Last season, memory serves, we had a few challenging games against Burton.
Yes, you're right.
We'll be interesting. Of course, from the slight negativity, and Aidan Flint, I'm sure, will be right across this all the way. Don't necessarily want to actually go through that, and then assuming Pep Guardiola's fine chaps actually sort of get through against either Southampton or Leicester.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you get a semi-final together, and you have another Bristol City sort of game, where after capturing the nation's hearts, you kind of slip away slightly.
Yeah, that's right. Aidan Flint will know all about that. I think there's a difference in that, if you remember Bristol City, they had to play... They played several Premier League clubs, didn't they, on the way.
Including Manchester United.
Yes, and they played a first team, didn't they, really. Middlesbrough have played this pretty cannily all the way through this run. It's been a mixture of squad players that aren't necessarily getting their game, and it keeps them happy, and they've all been playing very well, and then young players, and we're putting Lewis Wing into that category, and Marcus Tavernier, who have got a real opportunity to turn the manager's head. And so I think they'll continue that in the quarterfinal. So it would only actually be the semi-final. And whether people start to get a bit too excited.
It'd be quite a nice Christmas present, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, I think so.
The semi-final place, given
that but obviously we don't take anything for granted because Burton, they deservedly defeated Nottingham Forest and got some very good players. And as you say, they always give us a really hard game. But yeah, fantastic for the players like Wing and Tavernier to be playing in the quarterfinal of a League Cup if they get selected.
Precisely. Okay. In a matter of moments, in fact, actually seconds, we will be listening to the first part of the home story. I'll just let it go straight in after a little word from that. And then we will be back with news from Mike Baker, two pieces of poetry, and a heap of other wonderful top material from the Fly Me to the Moon official podcast for the company that actually produces pies on a regular basis. Yes, who ate all the pies? Who ate all the pies? Wigan Athletic, they ate all the pies.
Oh.
I did a cleaner version, obviously, because okay. I could have actually had something completely different on that basis.
Yeah.
It's been a week where people have actually sort of been giving penalties for sort of stumbling over themselves, and I don't know what's happening really.
No.
In today's crowded world, it's sometimes hard to get heard. And sometimes you need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialise in online radio and press for independent bands, with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit ManilaPR.com now.
Hello and welcome to this special edition of the Fly Me to the Moon podcast. Today, alongside our regular FM TTM podcast stalwart, Rob Nichols, I'm delighted to say we have a couple of special guests, none other than the notorious detective Mr. Sherlock Holmes and his partner in crime investigation, Dr. John Watson. Welcome, Sherlock.
Thank you, the pleasure's all mine.
And of course, Dr. Watson.
Thank you very much for the invite, Alex, and please call me John.
And last but not least, Rob.
Thank you, Alex. I'm very glad to be here too. I've watched the careers of these two gentlemen with some amazement.
John, if I could turn to you first. Through the course of your adventures with Sherlock, you appear to have struck up quite a friendship. Is this what inspired you to write about the cases you've been involved in?
We're not that friendly. He just cracks on about that in his books. He came round once to borrow a Phillips screwdriver. I haven't been able to get shot of him since.
Now, he's kidding you, Alex.
Yeah, it was a set of Allen keys, and I haven't had them back.
Okay, I can sense this is going to be fun. I must point out, listeners, that Mr. Holmes is currently wearing a smile as wide as his face. Speaking of fun, we have something very special lined up this week. We're going to open up the phone lines. So if anyone out there has a mystery in need of solving, please give us a call. Well, that was chaotic. We have a caller already. Joan from Billingham. What mystery do you have for Sherlock Holmes?
Hi, Alex. I'd just like to ask about something that's been puzzling me for years. Could Sherlock please tell me why I keep losing socks in the wash? The odd thing is, it only seems to happen in the winter time. I can go a whole summer without losing one. But as soon as it starts getting colder, one or two go missing a week.
Ah, puzzle as old as time itself. Well, at least as old as socks and washing machines. Would you like to offer a theory, Sherlock?
Do you have a teenage son? Or a one-legged lodger?
No.
Do you have a cockatoo, a parakeet, something like that?
I have a budgie called Elvis.
And you let him out of the cage and fly around the house?
Sometimes, yeah.
Well, he's the devil in disguise. Or at least your sock thief. Which way does your house face?
North. I'm just beside the town square, whichever way that is.
Okay, go into the back bedroom and take a look on the top of the wardrobe. You'll find your socks.
Thank you, Sherlock. I'll do that.
That was quick.
How on earth did you work that out?
In the summer, she'll have the windows open, so she keeps the budgie in the cage. Plus, her garden is south-facing and sees plenty of sun, so she dries the washing on the line. In the winter, when she lets the budgie out more, she does her drying on the radiators, so the budgie steals the socks.
Sorry, Sherlock. How do you know the budgie took the socks into the back bedroom?
The back bedroom will be the warmest. The budgie's a tropical bird. It's going to favour the warmest part of the house. Also, she should probably rename the budgie Priscilla. It's a hen. The budgie's female.
Amazing.
Not really.
While we're waiting for the next caller, I have a question for you. Given the notoriety you've developed, what's the best thing about being famous?
I get to go to fancy dress parties dressed as me.
When was the last time you went to a fancy dress party?
Well, I haven't, but if I ever do, I'll be sorted.
Oh, we have another caller. Pauline Cathcart from Stockton. What can we do for you, Pauline?
My granddad died a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, sorry to hear that, Pauline.
Thanks. The thing is, granddad left a will. But we've looked in every room in the house and can't find it. There definitely is one. His neighbours witnessed it for him.
Did he not lodge it with his solicitor?
I don't think he had one. It was a DIY thing he got from Smith's and filled in himself.
Are you married, Pauline?
No.
And this is your dad's dad?
He was, yes.
It's under the carpet in his bedroom.
Really? I'm round there now. I'll go and have a look.
So it's a bit embarrassing. A bit of dead air there. Come back, Pauline. Sherlock, how did you come to that conclusion? He's giving me a bit of an enigmatic smile, listeners. I've got a feeling he isn't going to tell us.
And you'd be right.
I'm back. I've found it. Thank you, Alex. Thank you, Sherlock.
Well, thank you for calling in, Pauline. Oh, and here's someone else. It's Joan from Billingham back. Did you find your socks, Joan?
Hi, Alex. I just thought I'd ring in and tell you, I found all my socks. They were exactly where Sherlock said they would be. And it looks like he was right. Elvis is a woman.
How do you know that, Joan?
She's paired up the socks.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for calling back to let us know, Joan. You take care now.
That's 2 out of 2, Sherlock. We should make this a regular thing.
I'd love to, mate, but lost wills and socks that have gone walkabout really aren't my thing.
Fair point. I think you'd soon get bored.
Get?
Sorry to interrupt, gentlemen, but the callers are coming in thick and fast. Dexter Hudson from Eston. What has you mystified?
Hi, Alex. I've got one for you. I was off down the garden the other night to take the wheelie bin out, and there in the middle of the path is one of my prized pieces of borough memorabilia, smashed to pieces.
Oh, come on, Dexter, we can do better than this, can't we? If this was a chat about Borough Football Club's prospects, I'm sure we'd come up with something more interesting to talk about than broken crockery.
There's something in this. This memorabilia, what was it, Dex?
Well, it was a little statue of Brian Clough, a mini version of the one in Albert Park. Now it looks like a bag of gravel.
Actually, gents, I know something about these figurines. There were 6 made by the same sculptor who did the statue in Albert Park, a lady called Vivian Malloch. She did them so that the Clough family could approve the design. Mr. Clough's wife, Barbara, was given one, as were his 2 sons, Nigel and Simon, and his daughter, Elizabeth. I think the other 2 were kept by the company who made them. They auctioned them off to pay for their time. You know, it was all done on a bit of a shoestring.
How many? There are only 6 in the world, and now mine's broken. Oh, I'm gutted.
Do you mind me asking where you got your one from, Dex?
Not at all, mate. I found it at the car boot sale at Redcar. It only cost us a fiver. I thought it would sit pride of place in my collection, right next to Alf Common's jockstrap.
Has it been washed?
No. But don't worry, it's encased in silica resin.
Now there's a Jurassic Park movie I want to see.
Dickie Attenborough really missed a trick there.
Have you got a dog, Dexter? Could he have got hold of it?
We do, but he's up in Scotland with the wife, visiting her sister.
Your dog has a wife?
With a house in Scotland?
Apologies for that.
Yes. Were there any signs of a break-in, Dexter?
No, not a scratch.
Dex, mate, it's Sherlock.
All right, mate.
I'm sorry to tell you this, fella, but I think you've been burgled. Are you sure there's nothing else missing?
No, and I've had a whole box of signed copies of Bernie Stavens' autobiography sitting there. They weren't even touched.
A box?
Yeah, I'm going to put them away. I'm hoping they'll pay for our lad's university.
How long is he thinking of going for? About 20 minutes?
Oh, dear, and him a friend of the show as well. If you're listening, Bernie, we're sorry.
Dexter, it's Robert. Was the figurine insured?
It was, mate. Fortunately, I had the assessor out to look at my collection a couple of days beforehand.
You look like you're mulling something over there, Sherlock.
I am, Doc. I'm wondering why someone would go to the trouble of stealing something only to smash it to pieces.
They might have dropped it by accident.
If whoever broke into Dex's place didn't leave any signs, like he says, then it would appear they knew what they were doing. If they were after the statue, which it appears they were, they would have brought something to carry it in. That's if they wanted to steal it.
There's a few ifs in that statement, Sherlock.
There is, Doc. One's one too many. Dex, your garden path, is it lit? Do you have some sort of security light or something?
I don't, mate, no.
What are you thinking, Sherlock?
It's a bit too early for solutions, my mate.
Gentlemen, this is fascinating. It appears we have a Holmes and Watson adventure playing out before our very eyes. However, I'm afraid we've run out of time. How would you feel about carrying this on next week?
We can do. I'll probably do a bit of digging around in the meantime.
You better count me in too.
Excellent. So many thanks to everyone for listening, and special thanks to our guests this week, Robert Nichols, Dr. John Watson and Sherlock Holmes. Do you mind if I have the honour of rounding off with those immortal words?
Yeah, mate. I'm not really sure what you're talking about.
The game is afoot!
100 strokes affect 130,000 people in England and Wales each year. Here's a recipe that can dramatically decrease your chances of strokes.
Excellent. I better get a pen.
167 grams of calcium, 245
grams of magnesium, 300 grams of magnesium. Hang on! I've got a pen, yeah? Hang on, slow down! Hang on.
Oh, oh, and one tablespoon. Remember, any more than one tablespoon could kill you. Any less than one tablespoon could kill you.
Right, what was
and
the recipe?
That's the recipe.
Oh,
if
damn.
You would like a more simple solution, oh, then right. You can always call Pharma Nord on 01670 519989.
All right,
or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
Let me see if I can jot that down. What was the number again?
01670 519989, or visit the website pharmanord.co.uk.
And how do you spell Pharma Nord, I wonder?
pharmanord.co.uk.
It's almost as if I'm having a conversation with the radio.
Don't be silly, that's impossible.
Pharma Nord, winning the war of nutrition.
You're listening to a Southside Broadcasting podcast. Southside Broadcasting is a media company which aims to provide a wide range of features from the rural, health and lifestyle worlds. You can regularly listen to entertaining podcasts with interviews and correspondents from Los Angeles, Nashville, New York and London. You can take part in our Book of the Month features, grab some great nutritional advice, enjoy broadcasts from the Great Yorkshire Show, the Lincolnshire Show, and enjoy local football reviews with our regular feature, Fly Me to the Moon. You can even hear a BAFTA award-winning director drive a train full of teddy bears. You can listen to these and many more podcasts at southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. For further information on how you can join over 35,000 people who regularly download our podcasts, call us on 01642 854 742 or email info@southsidebroadcasting.com now.
So we find ourselves travelling through another dimension that is the Championship, a journey into the wondrous land of possible promotion, and our next stop in the Pulis Zone. I think that's pretty much what the theme by Bernard Herrmann was written for in so many
ways,
and Rod Serling's show. It was written for the words of Afghanistan, Stanistan,
yes,
to actually sort of develop the Pulis Zone. I think hats off. In a Tony Pulis-esque way.
Oh, yes.
To
a cap off.
Exactly,
yeah.
A cap off, a tip of the cap to Stanistan for some really crafty words.
Yeah.
Good solid words, wordsmith from that point of view. And speaking of words, shall we actually do our first bit of poetry, Rob?
Okay.
In fact, speaking of Discover Middlesbrough, shall we actually launch with the James Cook little number?
Oh, okay, yeah.
From that point of view, and then we can actually follow through with Alan Peacock. Jimmy Flynn actually decided to actually put this together, and let's hope we can actually do it justice. So, Jimmy, we will take this away in our own time, or as Captain Cook would actually say, anchors away. Oh, maybe he wouldn't have said that. Obviously got somebody else to say it for him.
Yeah.
Do you think they would have said anchors away with Jim Bark Endeavour?
Okay.
I wonder, did Captain Cook play football on the banks of Plymouth Sound while on shore leave with his crew members? Did they kick a ball around? Was he a midfield anchor man steadying the ship at the back? Or did he endeavour to venture forward and help out in attack? Perhaps he was a goalkeeper, commanding the penalty box. With his supreme knowledge of trajectory and angles, was he impossible to outfox? When his defence came under pressure from opposition attacking waves, did he stem the tide with a string of stunning saves? When his team was in the doldrums, drifting without aim, did he swiftly change tack and get them back in the game? Was his team always organised, ship-shaped Bristol fashion? Did he gather them round the mast and imbue them with passion? Did he give them a half-time orange, full of vitamin C, and a daily tot of rum to withstand each stormy soccer sea? Did his team have a fanzine like Flying to the Moon? Was Captain James Cook ahead of his time, born 250 years too soon? Thank you. Thank you, sir. I thought the 250 was better. 250 as opposed to 250.
Oh, yes.
Didn't really talk with Jim about that. Didn't have a chance to actually communicate with him. Hopefully he's happy, but I felt 250 too soon, because obviously born 250 years too soon, it doesn't really flow as well.
Okay.
Anyway.
Flow is all important when you're talking about Captain Cook.
Precisely. Hence my concern about Anchors Away, which wasn't actually featured in there. Mind you, he got lots of other references in
there. He did.
Very clever.
Indeed.
He's written another one.
He has.
Alan Peacock.
Should I do this?
I think so.
This is for Alan. Alan Peacock was in the Thornsby Lad, one of the finest centre-forwards Borough ever had. A skilled leader of the line, at scoring goals exceedingly fine, a target man beyond compare, unassailable in the air, master of the penalty area sky, effortlessly climbing to meet the ball on high, comfortable with the ball on the floor, deftly unlocking any defensive door, an international star from a golden age, with the W formation, was all the rage. When money didn't rule the game, and all players' wages were exactly the same, a magical trinity, soldier, steelworker, and footballer rolled into one. Players of his calibre, sadly, long gone, never losing the common touch, not bothering about fame and celebrity much. Travelling to training on a corporation bus, and when noticed by fans, not making a fuss. Understated, underrated, 22-carat gold-plated, a superstar by any measure, leaving golden-laden memories for fans to treasure. Alan Peacock, North Ormsby lad, one of the finest centre-forwards Borough ever had.
So wonderful. It should go on Instagram. Actually, it would connect with Arch Hades, who is an Insta-poet who's doing extremely well and was featured in a little aspect which you can find from the home of the Southside podcasts. Insta-poet, apparently. If you're on Instagram, you become an Insta-poet, and that's Arch Hades, who wrote extensively for that. So there we are. Arch, if you're listening, you've got a name check as well. Although I don't think she actually likes Middlesbrough at all, really.
She loves
Middlesbrough. Not sure whether she's a keen football. Let us move on then to a mention that Steve Nally has also written an awesome poem called Saturday, in which the words red, outside and flushed all appear. We will say no more, because you should actually go to page 22 of the magazine, which you will purchase, to actually demonstrate the wonderment of that.
Indeed, absolutely.
Again, hopefully people weren't too confused or bemused by the first part of Amel Small's epic there. Admittedly, we went straight to the commercials, etc., which aren't fictional, but sandwiched there like a whole routine. We'll have another episode actually in the next Fly Me to the Moon podcast.
Yes, we could say that it was two seasons ago Mel Small wrote the middle pages of the fanzine, and it was basically different instalments of a special mystery that he did specially for the for the fan. I'm avoiding the word commission once again.
Yeah, of course. Sorry,
no money changed hands here.
But at the end of the day, you've got to realise that, you know, we're doing this out of the goodness of our hearts and our passion for the whole thing, much as you are yourself. But then again, as he is a professional writer,
he is a professional writer.
If people actually do wish to commission him, I'm sure he'd be available for weddings, bar mitzvahs, and any pieces of poetry, the whole prose that you'd like to sort of
or investigations
through. Exactly.
Get his homes on the case.
Mike Baker. Some months ago, bring about big changes in Borough's fortunes. I read my Fly Me to the Moon scribblings for the previous issue, and normally, one, I cringe over how wrong-footed my words were. Two, I think I've been too pessimistic about our chances. Three, I think I've been too optimistic, etc. In these pages, however, that's pages of Fly Me to the Moon, I lamented our inability to score goals, and honestly, I could just push out the same article again. Mike, please. better at least you're not conceding hugely. I mean, things could be worse, Mike. You could have Joe Hart in goal for you. 4 goals and 2 saves, guaranteed.
Yeah, we've not won since the middle of September when we beat Bolton 2-0 in a midweek game, and we've not scored much since
goal,
either.
A couple of own goals.
Own goals, that's right. Game, yeah, of course. We, as you said, we're scoring in the Carabao Cup.
It just needs one.
Yeah, you do get that impression that we just do need that one goal. I think Tony Pulis He did say many times in the last transfer window that he didn't get all the players that he wanted, and he was more specific in that, in saying that he felt that to really achieve something in this league, you need pace. So he's been having to shuffle his team without that pace.
Makes the removal of Patrick Bamford just that little bit more curious.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, much as I believe Tony is a big fan of Rudi Gestede, I don't think he's a major goal scorer, somehow.
No, I mean, he's got a fantastic record in one season when he was at Blackburn.
Yes, one season.
When he outscored Jordan Rhodes and they were playing together. And we talk about Britta Sombalonga again. A couple of seasons he had when he scored a lot of goals.
He does seem to have mastered the art of actually snatching victory from the doors of defeat, really, in many ways, or defeat from the jaws of victory. Yeah.
But if you look at those three players that left in the summer, of course, Ben Gibson and Patrick Bamford both really unlucky with injuries ever since. And
that's what happens.
And then Adama Traore, of course, tends to play the same Wolves team every week. So Traore comes on as a substitute, and so he's not had the chance to progress as he might either. It's maybe they could all have waited till January.
Precisely. Blackburn Rovers upcoming, yes. But we haven't finished about Wigan Athletic. I hate the phrase must win, but fundamentally, despite the fact that
it's important, isn't it?
As Mike Kelly actually alluded to, this was a time where Wigan obviously did something against a proper side in Manchester, run by Roberto Mancini a wee while ago, but then obviously were punished by the gods of football by having to go down two divisions after that.
Yes, they've had a lot of upheavals.
Yeah, we mentioned
up down.
Josh Windus is there.
Yes, amazing. Dean Windus's son.
Exactly.
Makes us all feel old.
Frightening, exactly. Mm. And we've got a whole range of other fine folk as well, including, of course, Paul Cook as the manager, as line from that point of view. I don't think it's going to be easy.
No, I think they've struggled in the last two or three games, haven't they, Wigan? But before that, they'd made a good start in the Championship. And obviously they're mindful of, as I say, they keep bouncing up and down, and they want to stick, don't they?
West Bromwich Albion, who used to have the yo-yo club.
Yeah, yes, they did. That was the Championship, Premier League, wasn't it? None of these games are easy, because all the teams come and they're all well organised, but you're quite right. It would do everyone the world of good to get a goal or two in the net. Well, two would be great, and to get a victory as well, because it's been too long since Bolton. And
If in the days of George Graham it was 1-0 to the Arsenal, why not 1-0 to Borough?
Well, it used to be 1-0 to Jack Charlton's Borough, didn't it?
It's true, yeah. Apart from the times when they scored three.
Which
was quite often, I think, they got three. And one notable game I remember where almost the roof was taken off the Essen Park stand with three goals scored against West Ham United.
I was thinking of eight against Sheffield Wednesday, but that was in the...
Of course.
7-2
against Chelsea. But that was John Neal.
That was John Neal, indeed.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yes, but you know these things stand out. And,
exactly.
But just a couple of goals on Saturday would not go amiss, and would give a lot of confidence for the team and for the fans as well. I think we are, as you said, we're still in that top four, but we don't want to slip back at all. We want to be getting
and the one
home
side
wins.
We haven't, of course, mentioned Sheffield United.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting. Anyway, that's been it for issue 590's audio companion of the 30th year of Fly Me to the Moon. But
yes,
how can people actually get hold of the hard copy magazine and read some of those wonderful articles that we've only just skimmed across today, including, of course, the fantastic poem, which is called Saturday.
And a lot of stuff looking back at November 1988, the very start of the fanzine. And people can subscribe, and they can subscribe by writing to Fly Me to the Moon, Unit 7, Brentnell Centre, Brentnell Street, Middlesbrough, TS15, A for Alan, P for Peacock, or go to the website fmttm.com and click on subscribe. I'll be doing a special Christmas subscription soon.
It's your magazine, Rob. You are the editor-in-chief.
No, I'm saying I will be doing it.
Yes.
But it's not Christmas yet.
No.
Because you'll be able to subscribe to the last five fanzines of the season.
The bonus ones. Yeah. It's genius stuff.
Yeah.
That's it. We've got the Twilight Zone in the background, but we need to finish off with those immortal words. Yes, with the Twilight Zone background there for the Pulis Zone. A 1, 2, 3.
Come on, Borough. Up the Borough. Oh.
Hey, celebrate and rejoice. It's Rob Nichols and friends on Fly Me to the Moon, the podcast. Not to be confused with Fly Me to the Moon, the song, or the fragrance for men.